Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Beautiful stuff there. Elder Lloyd, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, man. How are you doing?
So, thanks, and I've been looking forward to this day number three.
Oh, man, I've been definitely looking forward to it. I hope your day's been fine, though.
Sorry, sir?
I hope your day has been fine.
You know, it really has been. Thanks a lot. I hope yours too.
Yeah, no, mine was good as well. Now, we've come to understand why the Bible is such a big deal in Christian circles, why we can call it the Word of God, and why we trust in its authority. So how exactly are we supposed to get the most out of it, and what impact is it supposed to make in our lives? And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. So, my elder, now, having understood the importance of the Bible in the Christian's life, how does one go about studying this book, the Bible? Is there a particular method that should be used? Or do we start in the book of Genesis and go book to book until Revelation? Sometimes I hear that these books are not even put in the way they actually came. So it gets a bit confusing. Do I need guidance to read this?
Sure. Yeah. Indeed, it is very important to spend some time discussing the how part of it. But there's one that immediately comes to mind, Zama, which is Psalm 119, verse 103. I think this is the stage which we should get at, whereby David says, of God's word, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, and are sweeter than honey to my mouth. This is God's ideal. With which we should hold his word, right? We should read the Bible and seek truth out of it as seeking for hidden treasure. Mm. Not that God has hidden anything, mm-hmm. but in the sense that in the Bible lies treasure, and we should go all out to find just what about it is that the Bible seeks to teach us. So, point number one is to seek for truth as for a hidden treasure. Mm-hmm. You see, I was reading about the attachments that we do have to our gadgets, a research that was done in the United States of America, mm-hmm. in the year 2016, whereby they found that an average phone user would tap on his or her phone 2,617 times a day.
Mm.
You see? And that was before the launch of TikTok and WhatsApp statuses and things like that. So just trying to draw a parallel between how absorbed we are with social media and the rest vis-a-vis how we regard God's word. So God desires for us to have such an appetite. So firstly and foremost, we need to have an appetite for God's word. Then how we could read it, like you asked, whether we should read it chronologically from Genesis to Revelation, or whether we should start, like, where about should we start? I would say there is no one way of studying the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Why I say so? Because the Bible speaks to all facets of life.
Yeah.
So definitely some parts may be more relevant in courts at some point, more than at others. For example, for someone who is in some comfort, the genealogies are not going to be the best part to study. You get the point?
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible speaks to everyone, and we all do have different seasons of life.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can just get into what part of the Bible applies to our senses. The Bible is altogether too good. And it's also worth of notice that mighty revivals in history have come about when people had not even read half the Bible. Look at people like Martin Luther, maybe having read just the gospel when Protestantism came about. So the Bible is altogether good, and whatever part we read about it would be too good. But still, I would not want to downplay the need of a more systematic approach to studying. In fact, a systematic study would have the best benefit. Look at the example of William Miller, whom, when you read his biography, Arthur says that he went about reading verse by verse the book of Genesis and would not proceed to the next verse without understanding the previous one until he got to Daniel 8, verse 14. So Adventism came about out of someone who did a more systematic study of the Bible. So it is also good. It is more ideal, if I could say, to have a more systematic study of the Bible, like William Miller did, for example.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, my elder. Now, I'm a new Christian, and I've just converted to Christianity from wherever I'm coming from. And I pick up this book and I read, and I get to a place, and now unto 2,300 days shall the sanctuary be cleansed. I'm thinking, what is, my goodness, happening? I'm talking about things like that. And I'm thinking, oh, goodness, I think I may need to ask somebody about this. I now remember the Ethiopian eunuch, if you remember, who could not understand, and God quickly dispatched help for him to help him to understand. Looks like you're saying that, no, I can actually do it by myself. It's okay.
Right. Maybe I would need to bring in the issue to do with commentaries, for example.
Okay.
You know, the Bible is actually its own interpreter.
Okay.
That's one foundational truth we do have as Adventists, that on its own, it suffices. But then good commentaries also help make things clearer. And commentaries can even come in the form of fellow human beings, like you alluded to Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So there definitely is a lot of good stuff outside of the canon that can come by way of commentaries and things like that. But of course, it is an area with which we need to treat very softly. When you look at, like, I'm for a mix of both sides. Like, for example, I indicated that William Miller, in fact, when you read around him, you discover that he did not have a commentary. He only had a concordance. But look at how much truth he gleaned from the Bible. So on one end, I would want to say that the Bible is its own interpreter. But on the other side, God can also dispatch some assistance outside of the Bible to help us understand, like as Adventists, we are actually what you call continuationists. We are not cessationists. No, there are people who believe that beyond the closure of the canon, nothing can be put to light. But we believe, for example, in the spirit of prophecy, whereby we do have and white after some time coming onto the scene, coming out with very good commentaries, no new light, but shedding light on what the Bible already says. But like I said again, when outside of the canon, it is an area within which we need to treat softly. Like personally, I do love studying classics. I love Matthew Henry. I love Bishop Usher's Annals of World History. I do read Josephus, as well as a good number of contemporary writers. But like I said, you always need to carry a bag of salt, because you always have to take it with a pinch. We need to make a study palatable by using good commentaries.
I see. Now, for a person who has, you know, come to this thing quite new and early days, and you know, picked up the Bible from a shop, and now excited to read the Bible. Now you are talking about a commentary. What on earth is that? They may be asking.
Right. When you read the Bible, maybe in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, God has given spiritual gifts which will exist within the church right through to the end of time. And one important gift which God reserves the right to give is the gift of interpretation and better understanding. So we do have that privilege of people who can analyze texts better than ourselves, and obviously can make a Bible study clearer. So we really need to have an open mind and acknowledge that God can still dispatch Philips in our day to assist the eunuchs.
Mm. Now, before I let you go, when we read the Bible, is it better that I read it perhaps by myself? Is that the best way? Or maybe a reading club? Or maybe with a family? Or perhaps a prayer meeting group? What's the best way?
I think I would go with all the above. What you've just said, Zama, there, we all need to get the best out of each and every method. Being members of a Bible-believing church cannot be downplayed. We always need to be around people of the same religious persuasion as ourselves so that we understand things better. So, but I would also want to say that the best way is to go to the Bible, is to God's audience chamber, to hear him speak and to love to hear him speak. Maybe I could use an example of going to him, as they say, carte blanche, with a very blank mind, so that whatever he says, we promise to do, knowing that his biddings are his enabling. So first and foremost, let's feel that we have this need. Then let's go to God with a very blank mind for him to fill.
Beautiful. And lastly, if I now read the Bible and I continuously do this, I don't know how often or how periodically it would be, how does it change one's life? Does it, or it just accumulates a better knowledge of things? Or does it actually turn around a person's life?
Yeah, knowledge isn't knowledge until it is used, I would say. So God would not want us to be intellectual Christians. In fact, the Bible comes out alive when we put it into application. So no man can read the Bible, no man can go to the Bible with a blank mind and remain the same. There needs to be some change that is evident. Look at maybe the woman of Samaria. When she met Christ, she left a clay pot by the well. So we need to leave our prejudices and everything that we've heard before. When we come to the Bible, we need to leave aside and be changed people. So summarily, no one can have a good reading of the Bible, very deliberate, very intentional, and remain the same. It would never happen.
Yeah. Well, my elder, thank you so much. It's been a fantastic week, the last 3 days, and thank you so, so much for joining us. And we're going to be continuing to reading our Bibles, our scriptures, of course, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, believing that he is there to help us, nurture us and increasing our faith. Is the Bible before yes, go ahead.
There's just one thing that I just wanted to say in closing, Sama, that God has not removed any room for doubt. When you read the Bible and you hear of all the animals getting into an ark and things like that, these sound like pages from fantasy books, but God has not removed room for doubt. I like what Ellen White says in the book, Great Controversy, page 7, that those who seek for hooks on which to hang their doubts, they're sure to find them. So understanding Bible truth is a game of faith. Even things that would not be very logical, we need to believe. Because so God said, I do have a friend who gives the answer that he cannot believe that a man who had been dead 4 days was brought back to life. That's a reasonable room for doubt in the Bible. And this guy is on which to hang his doubt. God will not remove all occasions for doubt, but it is a game of faith.
nonetheless, it is a game of faith. Thank you so much, my elder, for joining us. It has been a fantastic one. Have a beautiful Sabbath and a fantastic weekend.
Thank you so much, brother. Bye-bye.
Lovely. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.